morning. I can remember singing that carol many, many years ago when I lived in Twynning, and a taxi pulled up outside our house, and Margaret got all excited and went running down the drive, and I didn't know what was going on. And it was Radio Gloucestershire, and I don't know whether you remember, they had a thing called Sunday Lunch, with a Sunday joint, with a man named Christopher Musk. And it was they were doing it from various locations, and he came in and had Sunday lunch with us, and we found out that I played the guitar, and I sang In the Bleak Midwinter on the radio, probably totally out of tune, I'm sure, but you know, but every time I think of that song, I always remember that incident, really. One of the funny things I remember was that he interviewed all the family, and of course our two girls were very young and small in those days, and he was asking them questions, and they were just nodding, and we had to explain to them, this is on the radio, you see, you have to speak, you know, people have to hear you. So there we are. Can I also say another thing before I look to God's word this morning? I want to tell you just how impressed I am with your new toilet seat. Mightily impressed. Mightily impressed. I think it's a very colourful one. Well done. Well done. I was talking to somebody this week, and you know, as you do, you talk about Christmas, and they say, oh, Christmas again, hate Christmas, detest Christmas. And I said, really? Oh, yeah, there's always so much to do, and oh, it's not what it was, is it? And this is what people say, isn't it, so often, oh, Christmas isn't what it used to be. And that was this kind of the attitude that this person I was talking to had. And I said, well, what is it about Christmas that upsets you then? And they said, well, you know, it should be peace and goodwill to men, shouldn't it? And yet there's no peace and there's no goodwill. I said, well, it certainly seems that way. But at no point did they ever come to the point about what Christmas is all about, that it's all about the birth of our Saviour. And I was a little bit surprised about this. And I thought to myself afterwards, well, you know, what is it about this child in a manger then that we are drawn to celebrate his birth every year? I mean, sometimes, I don't know whether you feel it, but sometimes I think to myself, oh, we're going to sing the same old carols again. But we didn't today, that was one thing. But, I mean, we only get a chance to sing carols at Christmas. But there are times when I sometimes think, oh, same old, same old. But it's not the same old, is it? What is it about the birth of this child in a manger that we are drawn every year to celebrate his birth? Is it because of the miraculous deeds that he did while he was in the manger? Well, there's nothing recorded in the Bible that says that he performed miraculous deeds while he was in the manger there. Is it because of the many blessings he gave us when he was just an infant? Well, again, there's nothing that we can say in the Bible that gives us the blessings, other than the blessing of his birth, of course. You know, I don't recall anything there. So why do we read this Christmas story over and over and over again? Why do we keep coming back to this Christmas story? I know it's celebrating the birth, but why do we keep coming back to this Christmas story over and over again? Why do we cherish this time of the year so much? Well, this baby Jesus does for us what he did for those that saw him as a baby. Friends, he gives us hope. He gives us hope. He gave them hope, just as he gives us hope. You know, when those wise men followed that star, they had the hope of coming to the Messiah. And likewise with those shepherds on the hillside there, when they came down off the hillside and they sought out the Saviour in the manger there, in that stable that night. I would imagine their conversation was such that, could this be the one? Could this be the one that's been spoken about, the one that's been foretold by the prophets of old? Could this be the one? I hope so. Oh, I hope so. You know, he gives us hope, doesn't he? You know, those shepherds and those wise men were filled with hope. They prayed that this babe in a manger would grow into the Saviour that they've been hoping for generations. They hoped that it would be just as the angel said it would be. When the angel said, "Today in the town of David a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." When the angel said that, I wonder if their hopes were lifted. Christ the Lord, the Redeemer, the Messiah. You see, they'd remember the prophecies. They would have heard the prophecies read out from the scrolls in the synagogues and the temples. And they would have known the prophecies of old. They would have known about the prophecies concerning the Messiah. And they would hope that, oh, could this possibly be true? It's a hope above all hope, isn't it? That this would be true, and be fulfilled through this child that is laying in front of them there in a manger. Could be this be the one that the prophets of old had spoken about down the ages? Could this child be the promised Messiah? You know, it's a big question, isn't it? And it's easy for us because we have the whole thing in retrospect. But for them, you know, this was a great hope. This child, this Jesus, gives each one of us hope, friends. You know, there's a hymn that has the first line, I can't remember any of the other lines to just speak it out like that, but the first line of the hymn is, "All our hopes on thee are founded. All our hopes on thee are founded. And all of our hopes and all of our prayers, friends, rest upon his shoulders." We don't simply put our faith in a baby in a manger, do we? But we put our faith in the man that baby will become. It's not simply his birth that we are celebrating this Christmas, but it is his life as well. It is in this child's life that we place our hopes. It is the man who is the author of life in whom we place our hope. I wonder, you know, as his family watched him over the years, that they began to see firsthand that their hopes were being fulfilled. When he was presented at the temple, when they witnessed those spirit-filled words of Simeon there, who recognized the hope in this child. And he said, "My eyes have seen your salvation. My eyes have seen your salvation." He said, "I'm quite happy to die now. My eyes have seen your salvation." They watched him grow into a young man. And they saw him at the temple with the teachers. And they're listening, discussing, debating. And their hopes, I'm sure, were reassured. They saw his devotion to the Father. And again, they were encouraged. As a young man, I'm sure that they recognized his faithfulness. And again, their hopes were lifted up. And when he began his ministry, they became all the more confident in their hope. And friends, really, it's no different for each one of us, is it? We see all of Christ's works in the face of this infant child lying in a manger. The peace that we all hope for is wrapped up in those swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. The forgiveness that we anticipate rests quietly in the hay. The love that we look for and we await flows through his veins and his arteries with every heartbeat. And the hope of salvation is reflected in the face of this newborn baby. The healing that we hope and that we long for rests in those tiny hands. Those hands which will one day be pierced by cruel nails. The hope of guidance is in his feet and where they will lead us. And the compassion that we seek in such a harsh world today is found in those newly formed eyes. Our hope for the future can be found in his every breath. And our hope of redemption is found in his love for each one of us. All our hopes can be found in Christ Jesus. And all of our concerns and all of our worries are comforted by Jesus. All of our trials and our tribulations and troubles find relief in our Saviour. And this is why we celebrate Christmas, isn't it? It is because of the child who will grow up to be the man who will be our Saviour. It is because of the love that he showed us by becoming one of us. It is because all our hopes are realized in this newly born baby. This child, asleep in the manger, is our past and our present and our future. He's our purpose. He's the reason for everything that we do, isn't he? It is this Jesus to whom every knee shall bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Friends, it's all about Jesus, isn't it? Everything we do is all about Jesus. Now this popular scripture that we've read this morning here in Isaiah is a prophecy of the coming Messiah. We're all quite aware of that, aren't we? At the time that Isaiah prophesied these words, which is about 700 years before the coming of the Messiah, it seems that only darkness and gloom and despair seem to lay in store for the nation of Israel. You see, the nation had strayed away from God and they were worshipping other gods. The mighty armies of Tiglath-Pileser, the Assyrian king, were massing on Israel's borders and had already taken their neighbors into captivity. And what should have been a land of plenty was being ravaged by famine and disease. By all natural appearances, there was no hope in the days of Isaiah. It appeared that the nation of Israel was coming to an end. But out of the darkness, a voice was heard that spoke of the light of hope that would touch the very soul of man. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there'll be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. you know, a child, it's the hope of Christmas, isn't it? A child would be born that would bring hope into the hearts and the lives of the hopeless. A child who, John's Gospel states, will be the light of the world. Jesus said, "He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Jesus, the Son of the living God, Emmanuel, God with us. You know, friends, we all need to have hope, don't we? We live our lives hoping. Hope is what sustains us in times of darkness. I've got a friend who is suffering from multiple sclerosis, and I go and visit him from time to time. And every time I go and I visit him, I see his body being ravaged and becoming more of a shell each time. And he's a lot younger than me. And his body is being slowly weakened by this disease. But he always greets me with a real beaming smile. He's always got a beaming, smiling face. And when I say to him, "How are you, Adrian?" Do you know what his answer is? "Still waiting for my miracle." He says it every time. "Still waiting for my miracle." You know, that's hope, isn't it? That's putting your faith in God, isn't it? "Still waiting for my miracle." He has a hope, and it's a hope that is keeping him alive. And we have a hope. It's another line in a hymn, isn't there? We have a hope that is steadfast and certain. We have a hope. You know, to live a life without Christ is to live a life without hope. I wish more people would realize this. Remember those disciples coming back from Jerusalem on the road to Emmaus? They were heading for home late in the day. Jesus had been crucified. They were downcast. They didn't know what to believe now. They had hoped. And that's what they said, wasn't it? When they thought it was all over, when the Messiah had gone, they said to each other, "We had hoped that he would be the one. We had hoped, oh, we had so much hope in this man Jesus. But now he's hanging on a cross. He's dead. We had hoped. We hoped he would be the one to redeem Israel." They didn't realize that the stranger who they were talking to on the road was Jesus, did they? But let's take another look. You see, it was when Jesus broke the bread, when they invited him into their home for supper, that they realized who he was. And we need to take another look, don't we? We need to take another look at Jesus. And I would say to people today who are perhaps a little bit cynical over Christmas and, "Oh, Christmas isn't what it used to be," well, take another look. Take another look at this child in the manger. Because you can find that hope in Jesus. And he wants to give you the peace that you're looking for. You know, this wonderful hope distinguishes itself from the empty hope that is in the world. You know, we've had a year, or perhaps 3.5 years, we'd say, and I'm not going to mention that B word, but where people have been hoping that things will get sorted out. Oh, we've lived in hope, haven't we, for the last 2 or 3 years. But it's an empty hope, isn't it? It's the hope that is in the world. This wonderful hope accomplishes in our lives what man cannot. This wonderful hope is salvation through Christ Jesus. This wonderful hope can bring you out of darkness and into light. And Jesus wants to fulfill all your hopes. And as we come at this time of the year, not to just kneel at a manger where he lay as an infant, but we come, friends, to the foot of the cross as well, don't we? Where he died as a saviour. for you and for me. Our reading started with the people living in a land enveloped by darkness until the coming of the Messiah. And I'm reminded that darkness came across the land again some years later, didn't it? For a few hours, when Jesus, the Son of God, the light of the world, hung in the darkness on a cruel cross. But you know, in the darkness, the only light that was still shining was the cross of Jesus. And that light still shines today, doesn't it? 2,000 years later. Let me just finish with a story I know is reasonably true. As many of you know, many years ago I went to the Bible called Birmingham Bible College and tried to learn something. And I became very friendly with a man who was the vice principal. His name was Colin Warner. Wayne would know him well. Colin became a really good friend, a close friend. And he used to come and minister in the church in Colford, where we were attending at the time. And he used to come with his wife to listen, and he used to come and have lunch with us. And we became very close friends. And Colin was a lovely man. Sadly, he's been called home this year, and we miss him dreadfully. But Colin used to tell the story from time to time about one of the young men that went to the Bible College. And he was a young lad who was a little bit different to everybody else, because Colin used to say he was the class atheist. That's what Colin used to call him, the class atheist. And he said, I remember Colin saying, he said, he was a real pain in the back pew, he used to say. And this young man was argumentative. He had long hair onto his shoulders, and you know, so he sort of stood out. All the others had shorter hair, but he had long hair. And everything he learned, he questioned, and he was argumentative over everything. He made Colin's lectures very difficult, and there were times when Colin was not a man to suffer fools lightly, but there were times when Colin, I think, could have probably almost have throttled him, because he was such a disruptive influence. And he became more and more argumentative until finally, when the course was over, he was very sort of arrogant and sneering. And he said to Colin one day, on the last day that he was there, he said, "Tell me something, Mr. Warner. Do you think I'll ever find God?" And Colin said, I said to him, "No." And he said, he was a bit taken aback at that. He said, "No, I don't think you will. I don't think you will." And he said, as he turned to go out of the door, Colin said to him, "But I hope and I pray that God will find you." Well, a few years went by, and Colin heard that he'd been very poorly. And this young man decided, apparently, to come back to the college to see Colin. And when Colin saw him, he was quite shocked. He'd lost all his long hair. He'd got lung cancer, and it was inoperable. And the chemotherapy had changed him completely. And Colin said, "I was very sad to see him like that." But he said, this young man, when he came in, he just smiled. And he said, "For years I lived a selfish life," he said, "doing my own thing without any hope or thought of the future." He said, "I came to this Bible College to get a degree, and that was all." He said, "I had no interest in God, and that was it. He said, "But one day I remembered something that you said." I went to go, yeah. He said, "You once said, everybody needs to know that they are loved." And I thought about that, and I decided to go and tell my dad I loved him. He said, "I went home, and my dad was sitting in the chair reading the papers. And so I said to him, 'Dad, I need to say I speak to you.' And his dad said, 'Oh, what's that?' He said, 'We've never got on. Right through life, we've never got on.' He said, "I said to him, Dad, I just want you to know that I love you." And he said, "It's the first time in my life that my father had ever hugged me." And he said, "It began a new relationship between us." He said, "That encouraged me to go and say to my brother, my little brother who I despised for many years, that I loved him. And I told my mother and my close friends as well that I loved them." He said, "That can be your family. That can be your family." And I learned what it is to know the love of Jesus. "Then a lot of time left," he said, "but now I tell people that you'd better let somebody love you before it's too late. Who better than Jesus?" You know, the prophet Isaiah here in this reading today foresees great things happening for the people. And at the end of the passage, he reveals how it's all going to take place. He says, "The zeal of the Lord God Almighty will accomplish this." Friends, our hope isn't in movers and shakers, is it? Our hope is not in people in high places or people with connections and influence. Friends, that God's presence in our lives and in our world that makes the difference. We sing a traditional prayer, don't we? A little turn of Bethlehem. And there's a line in there that says, "The hope and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." Friends, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ, the solid rock, I say, I pray that you be true. And may God bless you all this Christmas. And I pray that you will have a blessed Christ-filled Christmas this year. Amen. So we're going to sing our final carol this morning, which is on "Joy Has Dawned Upon the World."